This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, and he joins us every week on Tuesday afternoons to talk about growth and development. How are you, sir? It's good to see you.
Very good.
Have you taken that pie trip yet?
We have tentatively scheduled the pie day for next week.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yep.
You have a
but
date.
It's a closely held secret, so I'm not going to tell people the date because I don't want them to freshen up their pies.
You want to catch them unawares.
We want to catch them unawares.
Yeah. And again, for the folks who don't know, you are taking your Charlottesville Tomorrow team throughout Albemarle County in search of the best homemade pie in the little right. mom-and-pop stores in the hinterlands.
It's a good measure of our sense of community.
Yeah.
The community that eats pie together stays together. So we're going to look for it.
You've been thinking about this for months.
We've been testing some different technology that we're going to use in the car to do this.
You got your new iPhone GPS.
High tech, yep.
And you're going all out and about. Now, what if folks want you to stop by?
Well, we have our list of places.
So you don't need suggestions?
We did that in past shows. So at this point, we would have a serious dietary problem, I think, if we had any more spots on our agenda, our itinerary. So we have enough for now. Now, I'm always open to more in the future, though.
Yeah. So you have a list of little mom-and-pop stores and where they are that you really want to go to.
That's right.
And you're going to walk in and say, show me your baked goods.
Right. Now, my fear is that I'm going to have to buy whole pies and bring them back to the, I guess I'll bring them to WINA and
yeah, man.
All the staff can
there you go.
Work on the pies.
It'll be gone very quickly, I promise you that. You've seen pies up here on that counter. They're gone.
No, I never see the pies. I see the other things that I'm not quite sure what they are.
Oh, yeah.
Because the good stuff goes quickly.
All that good stuff, yeah, it is. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, so you'll have to give us an update on that trip. We want to hear all about it. Can we start with the trees?
Sure.
Because we had a caller during the break who called in and said, hey, when Brian gets in there, ask him about what's going on with the trees on the downtown mall, because we've heard rumors for years that they've gotten too big and they need to cut them down or something like that. And evidently the rumors are flaring up again and people are hearing that they're really going to cut these things down.
There have been I've heard those rumors myself. We certainly try to dispel those on Charlottesville Tomorrow's blog. And if you went to our website and clicked on the blog, you would see there's a list of categories for different stories. So if you click Downtown Mall, you could get to all our Downtown Mall stories. One of them from a while back had to do with the renovation concepts that the community is talking about. In fact, City Council will be talking about them further next week because they have to make a no-go decision on whether to start this renovation in January. And that has to do with the bricks and all that stuff that we've talked about. But the trees are obviously an important element of the downtown mall. The willow oaks are the big trees you see all the way up and down the mall.
Willow oaks. Oh, I like them. And they evidently grow fast.
Yep. They certainly have.
I mean, look how big they are after just 30 years.
Typically have a lifespan of 100 years, but apparently in this urban environment, less so. So maybe 40 to 60 years. So we're getting into that time frame where they need to think about replacing some of these trees.
Yeah.
Now, as a layperson, I look at them and I think, well, they look fine to me.
Yeah.
But
look fine to me too.
So the public should know, though, that they're not going to replace them all at once. They'll be part of there'll be a phased effort to replace the trees that they think are most in the poorest health, I guess, and replace them with new ones. But the theme I expect will remain that you'll have willow oaks on the mall. You'll have ginkgo trees on the side streets.
Those are the smelly ones, aren't they?
Yeah, sometimes they do.
Yeah.
There's a male and female, and one of them smells, and I don't remember which
is. Well, make sure they get the one that don't stink, because ginkgo's horrible.
But I think you need to have both of them for them to, do their thing.
Really?
I don't know.
Trees?
I don't know. Don't they have to have, cross-pollination?
They're not like rabbits, are they?
I have no idea. You should go down there at night, Coy, and see what those ginkgo trees are doing.
That's a great question. Do you have to have male-female species of a tree?
I'm so out of my expertise
right now.
For them
to grow. I thought you just needed sunshine and water.
I'm just going to stop talking about this. My son, ironically, is at nature camp right now, learning all about trees and water. So maybe he can...
I hope they're not showing him too much.
We'll have him on the program. But there are also some red maples, and they would be replaced with a more tolerant species, according to the experts working on this.
So the rumors are true. They are going to cut these trees down.
Over time.
But not all at once. So they'll take out one and put in a...
Right. People hearing that there's going to be the five-month or, I think, longer renovation of the downtown mall next year shouldn't think that all the trees are going during that period. That's not what's going to happen.
So this is going to be a phased thing with the trees.
That's right.
But the bricks, they're just going to get in and knock that out.
The bricks will all go, yes.
Yeah. Are we to that point now where we know that for sure?
Well, I think what we're down to is what size bricks and what orientation, and will they have mortar? Will they have sand? That's what's going to be talked about by council.
There was one idea, whether it was a caller on this program or one of the responders to some blog somewhere I read, where somebody said, why don't they just go through and replace the broken bricks and leave it there? That's like the most inexpensive thing you can do. Don't redo the mall. Just go replace the actual broken bricks. But they're not going to do that.
Well, I think it's a little more complicated than that. I think that's a natural question. But apparently the number is quite staggering, the percentage that are broken. And if you walk the mall and you look closely, and certainly as this story has evolved, I've been looking down a lot more and studying the mall. But there's a lot of those bricks, even though they're intact, they've been pushed up. They're sort of out of balance. So even if they're not cracked, you've still got to pull them out and you'd have to remortar them. Now, some people have said, let's just use the existing ones, you know, knock the mortar off, put new mortar in there. But the experts don't think that's the right way to go at this point.
So at this point, then they're going to decide this next week.
Right. City Council is going to have to weigh in on this.
So, and they're going to decide how much money they want to spend on it, what they want it to look like, yep, and what they're going to do with the bricks.
That's right.
And based on what you hear, it's likely they're going to take them all out.
Yeah, I really don't think that. I mean, I think the public has raised good questions about, can they be reused? How could they be reused? But in most cases, the consultants advising the city on this have said that's not our recommendation. And they're trying to steer the city towards picking the right size brick. But whatever size they pick, putting it on a cement base but with sand holding the pavers in place.
Like a patio. Instead of like they've
like
done
it. Like what's done up at Court Square and like what was done on 3rd Street, the side street that was recently redone.
Yeah, which looks great. Can't they take some of these old bricks and use them on the side streets?
There has been discussion of using them, of selling them. So there have been some creative ideas out there.
I'd buy one. I have a brick from when Main Street was bricked before it was asphalt. Somebody gave it to me.
Yeah.
One of the original bricks when the street was brick.
I think that would be a popular thing for people to buy.
Yeah. And they should sell them at a certain price, but not make it ridiculous, like $5 a brick.
Mm-hmm.
And then take that money and put it towards the cost of this renovation.
That'd be neat.
You know? Wouldn't that make sense? But see those little no-brainers things government usually doesn't think about. But that would be a cool way to do it.
You know, Peter Kleeman has been blogging about these bricks, and he's got some interesting pictures on his website. And he's been critiquing the different implementations that have been done locally of this, and showing pictures of, you know, weeds and grass growing up in between the sand placed bricks. And so I think that, you know, that's another perspective here. And he's not convinced that it's worked entirely as they had hoped in the areas where vehicles are crossing over the bricks, the crosswalks in particular.
Like in Court Square?
Around Court Square.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Interesting. So they'll decide something for sure next week. It's not a public hearing though. They're just going to start talking about it and figure out what they need to do.
I think at this point they're down to decision making on this issue.
Yeah. Yep. That'd be interesting. I do hope they do the side streets though. I mean, it's, even if you have to use the old bricks to do it, it's still going to look gorgeous and much better than what's there. And I tell you, if I was a business owner downtown, I'd be screaming up and down, do these side streets finally. That was part of the original plan back in the early 70s was to do the side streets. And here it is 2008 and only, you know, a handful, two or three are actually done. It would make it look so much nicer.
Some of those side streets will be done as part of development projects. The Landmark Hotel that's got the big crane downtown right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Is going to redo that side street. You know, the one up near Gravity Lounge was redone when that.
Yeah, that turned out really nice.
Yeah. So they're looking for those sort of public-private opportunities to get these projects done. But I think the money has been the issue that's stopped them from doing them all at once.
Yeah, interesting. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow, and the phone lines are always open. If you have a comment or a question, 977-1070, I strongly urge you. I've been getting all these emails from people asking me questions to ask guests that have already been on. Really? And I always respond. I say, why didn't you call in with that question? That's a fantastic question. Well, I didn't want to interrupt you. And I'm like, no. For heaven's sakes, pick up your darn phone and just ask the question. Nothing I can do about it now. They're not on the show anymore. So 977-1070. You know, we'd love to hear from you any time. So you have some updates from last week. You want to start there?
We do. Real quick, I'll just go through these. St. Anne's Belfield, we talked about how they were going to move middle school students from their upper campus along Ivy Road to their lower campus off of Faulkner Drive and the 29 bypass.
Yeah.
The Albemarle County Planning Commission last Tuesday night recommended approval of that special use permit that they needed. However, they put two interesting conditions on it. We talked about one of them, which was that they would ask St. Anne's to build an expanded turn lane off of that ramp from the 29 bypass.
So the turn lane would be coming off of the bypass.
That's
right. Like you're coming off of the bypass going to Bel Air Market or 250 West. Yep. There'd be a turn lane there to the right.
There'd be another turn lane.
So the cars wouldn't back up onto the bypass.
And St. Anne's, based on our reporting of this conversation, was not too happy about that. We've got the podcast up, and folks can listen to that. But that was a condition of the approval. And then another was that they had to have a green certified building. They're building a new academic building for this expanded school there.
Now that's really interesting.
And the county.
Do they have the authority to do that?
Well, apparently so. Their attorneys are good at stopping them when they don't. And they put this requirement on there that they had to at least be certified.
So it's not LEED certified.
LEED certified.
Which is one of the highest.
But they didn't pick one of the levels. They didn't say you had to be gold, silver, platinum.
But for folks who don't know, explain what that is.
Leadership in energy efficient and environmental design, I think, is what that
sounds good.
Yeah. It's good enough, I think.
Close enough.
And it's basically the Green Building Council's standards for environmentally friendly buildings.
Is this like because this is incredibly newsworthy. Is Albemarle County now insisting that new developments be LEED certified?
Well, they're not doing that in all places. They're certainly looking more favorably upon some rezoning request when the developer comes in and says, I'm going to make this a LEED certified building. Oftentimes, private developers are volunteering that early.
Yeah.
So
Smart thing to do.
Avon Center, the 5th Street retail complex, they came in and said some of those buildings would be LEED certified. Other developers have done this as well. But in this case, I think it was the Planning Commission really pushing to make it a requirement.
That's interesting. I wonder if that's been done before.
Well,
I'm smelling news here, man. I smell a headline.
That. Well,
has the county ever required a new development? Have they required, the Planning Commission required that it be LEED certified?
Well,
that it be earth friendly.
I'd need to do a little more homework on that. But I think I don't know who initiated this. So I don't know if St. Anne said they were thinking about it and the county said, great idea, we're going to require it. Or if the county just said, hey, there's a good idea. We need you to do it. But interestingly, Coy, it is newsworthy that Albemarle County has said for local government buildings that all new local government buildings will be LEED certified. So the county is trying to do that themselves with its new facilities. And here they saw an opportunity to ask St. Anne's to help that as well.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. You can learn more online at seavilletomorrow.org. The phone lines are open, and let's go to the phones. Steve is on line one. Steve, you're on with Brian. You go right ahead.
Yeah, Brian, I don't know if this is old ground we're covering, but you know, you go to Philadelphia or Old Town Alexandria, and there's cobblestone streets that have been there for 200 years. Why do we have to put something in that only lasts 10 to 20 years and have to rethink it every couple of years?
That's a great point.
More permanent?
That's a great point. I was walking on those stones in Old Town Alexandria on Saturday, and they're gorgeous.
They are beautiful. Yeah. You know, these bricks have lasted.
Why can't we do it like Grandpappy did?
Have lasted more than 10 years, I guess. I don't know what the life expectancy is of the work that they've done up at Court Square and on that side street.
Next to Paramount, yeah.
I think that's a great question. I guess one of the advantages is, and why you might expect it to last longer, is that the water is not going to freeze in between bricks and crack mortar.
Yeah.
And so if the water is able to drain through the bricks and the sand, and they've set up a good drainage bed underneath so that most of that water goes into the drain pipes, then you would think that it would last much longer because you're not going to have that freezing and thawing challenge.
How does it last like in places like Old Town in Alexandria? I'm sorry. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but Steve, I think it's a fantastic question.
Here's a question.
I don't know how much maintenance they have to do on those things.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know that either.
Thank you.
Yeah, Steve, thanks. We appreciate it. They could be doing a ton of maintenance. I wouldn't know.
You know, I've walked around Alexandria a lot, and I'm trying to think. I mean, I don't remember driving on them in too many places. Certainly the sidewalks have a lot of that.
Have a lot of brick. The sidewalks are brick all over Old Town.
Yeah.
But there are very few places where there's cobblestone.
On the streets still.
On the streets.
There are a few places.
Just a few, yeah. Yep. That's interesting. Hey, Lori is on the line. Lori, you're on with Brian Wheeler. No, you're not. Lori, give us a call back, 977-1070. The phone lines are open, and we're talking with Brian Wheeler. I left her on hold too long, but she had some question about sidewalks next to Best Buy. There's no sidewalks by Best Buy?
Hmm. Well.
Is that like walking down 29 and you all of a sudden all the sidewalks stop?
I guess you're trying
to go from like Bodo's to Best Buy?
I'll have to look for that the next time. Now, certainly there is a sidewalk, I guess, in front of KFC, and there's a bus stop right there.
Yeah.
But maybe once you cross Angus Road, the sidewalk stops.
And there's no sidewalk until you get down to Chinese restaurant down there?
Yeah, on the other side of the bypass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what I would point out to Lori is, if that was the question, there's a transportation project that intends to add another lane as an on-ramp. So that you'd have dual lanes heading on to the 29-250 bypass right there.
Which is way overdue.
Way overdue, and there's no money to do it, but it's one of those transportation priorities. The lane would actually start up at Hydraulic Road, and some of that would be using the median. There's a grassy median in front of the Kroger right now that comes down 29, and that's in the city of Charlottesville. But a proffer from the Albemarle Place development, which is in the county, on the other corner of that intersection up behind the 7-Eleven.
Yeah, where the Blockbuster used to be.
Part of their proffer is to help build that extra travel lane and widen 29 at that point and allow two lanes to get on the bypass. So, Lori, when they do that, I predict they will make some pedestrian improvements as well. But they wouldn't build it now because they know down the road they'd have to rip them up.
Yeah. That certainly is, though, definitely in need, as anybody who's traveling down 29 and trying to get on the bypass to go south or west knows that sometimes it backs up in the right lane, so you'll get in the middle lane and then scoot over in front of the hotel.
But I tell you, once there are two travel lanes there, that's going to be more dangerous for pedestrians, because you know how anxious people are to cross multiple lanes of 29 to get onto that on-ramp. And I think when you have two lanes there, they're going to be traveling a little faster probably. And that's something the designers are going to have to think about.
That's interesting. Yeah, well, where are people going to cross the bypass?
How will you get under the bypass?
Because people are doing it all the time right now. You see them out there on bikes, and they're walking on a little path in the grass.
And to my knowledge, there's not one on the other side under the bridge. I don't think so either. Yeah. That's a good question. I'll keep an eye on that, Lori.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. A break for local news and weather. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Join the conversation, won't you? 977-1070. Happy Tuesday. The phone lines are open, 977-1070. If you've got a comment or a question, it's Growth and Development Tuesday, and we are talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow, online at seavilletomorrow.org. And the Dredge Force, sounds like a commercial. Yeah.
Dredge Force.
Yeah. So what is this? Where does this come from and what's going on?
All right. The Dredging Task Force is being put together to start investigating, what are the requirements that they want to give a consultant who might come in and do a study of the South Fork Ravanna Reservoir to figure out how much stuff can be pulled out, where it could be put, what is it, is it worth anything, et cetera. So anyway, the four chairs, the heads of the Ravanna Water and Sewer Authority, Albemarle County Service Authority, Board of Supervisors, City Council, recently all got together and said, we need a task force. Let them spend 4 months figuring this out. The news is the 11 entities that will have a seat at the table here have started naming who will be at the table. So City Council has appointed Holly Edwards, City Councilor, to be their representative on the Dredge Task Force. The county has appointed Dennis Rooker, the Jack Jewett supervisor, to be their representative. Interestingly, Sally Thomas, who is a supervisor representing the Samuel Miller district in the county, will also be on the task force, but representing the League of Women Voters, which she's had a long affiliation with going back to the 1960s.
That's really interesting.
So she will be there for that.
Hmm. And very appropriate that Dennis Rooker is on that committee or that task force looking at dredging, because if I'm not mistaken, wasn't he the guy way back when this whole idea was first started about, a 50-year water plan? He was the guy that said we should look at dredging, and everybody said, no.
Well, I don't know if they responded that way, but he is.
Yeah, they said, no.
He has consistently
been. They shook their heads and made faces.
He's consistently been saying dredging needs to be looked at. But he also, I think, feels strongly that the current 50-year plan ought to move forward as described. I think that's an accurate statement. Ridge Schuyler will represent the Nature Conservancy.
Yeah.
I believe Karen Joyner. Oh, she's with the Ivy Creek Foundation. They're about to name their person. Looks like Dee Dee Smith will be representing Citizens for a Sustainable Water Plan. That's the group that started raising questions about dredging.
Yeah.
And
she's formerly of the Ivy Creek Natural Foundation, too.
And the Charlottesville School Board
as well. Yeah.
Chamber of Commerce will have Christopher Lee, who's their current chair, and also a principal at R.E. Lee Construction. So Chris Lee will be involved, and he's been involved in a lot of community committees like this. So he's a natural pick, I think, for the chamber. But anyway, the names are starting to come together, and as soon as we know about their first meeting, we will let you know.
And it sounds fairly balanced as you're telling the names. I'm sort of trying to think whether the group or the person has a feeling about this particular
water war. I think that depends who you ask. If you ask City Councilor Satyendra Huja how balanced it is, he's concerned about that. And he raised a question in front of City Council and said, and ask about, you know, whether it should be balanced 50-50, city-county. And that got me thinking, well, I wonder how much water the city uses versus the county. And it's actually pretty close. The city uses 52% of the water from the RWSA. The county uses 48%.
And, of course, the county uses a whole lot more water, but it has a whole lot of people on wells. This is just public water.
This is public water.
Yeah.
Yep. So I thought that was interesting. But they're also, City Council wanted to know why the Sierra Club was not involved. The Sierra Club was seen as an organization that once more information about dredging was on the table, they were joining in asking questions about that.
Yeah.
And
I mean, why is Ridge Schuyler of the Nature Conservancy, a very outspoken proponent and pusher for the 50-year plan and sort of downplaying dredging, on the task force, and yet somebody from the Sierra Club is not? It's a good question.
And Dave Norris, mayor of the city, said he would go ask the other three chairs what they thought about adding the Sierra Club. And I've not heard that that's been resolved yet.
They're going to say, no.
and maybe the next caller has some information for
us. Maybe she
does. This.
Betty's on the line. Betty, you're on with Brian. Go right ahead.
Hey. I guess one thing about the task force that we feel is that the
and
Water
we
as, Authority if, Board had
Betty,
voted,
for folks who don't know, Betty, for folks who don't know, Betty is with the Citizens for a Sustainable
Water Plan.
Water Plan, right.
Had voted to go forward with an RFP or RFQ to get the surveys underway by July 8th. And when the four board chairmen came together, that was put on hold. And now we have another study group of dredging. I mean, I have trouble seeing how much the Chamber of Commerce knows about dredging. All these people have talked about dredging. We paid Gannett Fleming over $5 million to tell us dredging was way too expensive and scary. You know, we're very disappointed and see this task force as a stalling mechanism because what we're saying is the public needs to know the real cost of dredging. And we're not going to know that until we get the surveys done. And this group is stacked with individuals who publicly have said that they do not want to see dredging as an alternative to the 50-year plan. They only want to see it as something else that maybe the recreational people could pay for now. That's their new idea. And we're saying this reservoir is our crown jewel of our community. It was built as a water supply reservoir. It's our biggest reservoir. It needs to be maintained. There are legal requirements to maintain it that have not been met. In the four-party agreement, the DEQ in Richmond says it needs to be maintained as a reservoir.
Do you think the task force is not fair the way it's set up?
No. It's a way to really sidetrack the issue that dredging should be looked at as an alternative, that the fundamentals of the plan, it's looking like this water supply plan that they've got now is about $200 million. I mean, the estimates for the pipeline now that we're getting are just astronomical for the to connect South Fork to Ragged Mountain. They don't even know if they can get the right of way because it's the old 29. It's the Western Bypass.
Right, right.
The embankment issues. This new reservoir will go under Highway 64.
Yeah.
So all this embankment work has to be done. It's extremely costly, and we're saying you have got to know a good cost estimate before you go forward, and you've got to know the cost of dredging.
Betty, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. Let's do this. obviously, some folks like Betty and Hooja are very concerned that the – it is a good question, though. Why is the Chamber of Commerce on this task force versus like somebody from that neighborhood or the rowers? Or,
well, those people are on the task force.
Oh, well, there you go.
So,
well, all my problems are solved.
So there will be a representative of the property owners at the reservoir. UVA will have somebody representing the recreational interest, i.e. rowing.
Yeah. But Betty's concern, of course, I don't think it's too much inside baseball. She's concerned that the task force is stacked with people
I understand Betty's concern, and I think the four chairs were stacked against that position as well.
Oh, yeah, that was obvious.
So three of the four of them said in the meeting that Betty was at and that we reported on that they wanted the 50-year plan to move forward, and that dredging, as Betty said, should just be looked at as a maintenance issue.
Yeah, for rowers and fishermen and women.
So the group that picked this list of groups, I think she would say they were stacked against her as well.
There you go. But when are they supposed to come in with some kind of report?
But, the good thing I would say, though, Coy, is, I mean, if you're concerned about this as a stalling tactic, I guess it's not a good thing. But in this process, there will be another public hearing that this task force will have. They can accept more community input about these different interests, whether it's recreational, whether it's business. And I think the Chamber of Commerce has been taking positions on the water supply during the past several years. So they do have people that have been watching this issue closely. They have a government affairs committee that's been working on water issues. And so I think Mr. Lee, I think it is appropriate to have somebody representing the business community.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I was just sort of having fun with that. But that the businesses use a heck of a lot of water.
That's right. They do. So anyway, that task force is going to get started here as soon as possible. I know they'd like to have a meeting in August and get this ball rolling. They've got to deliver their report to the four chairs and the joint boards in November. So they've got some work to do.
There you go. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow, and the phone lines are open, 977-1070. Join the conversation, won't you? 977-1070. So what is this about the parks?
Oh, this is the result of another caller, Gary from, I think, 2 weeks ago. Gary, I hope you're listening. If not, I know he gets our emails. And if you're not getting our emails and you want to, seavilletomorrow.org, you can go there and sign up. But he asked me about an area called Pretty Creek. And he said, I thought I heard that was going to be a future reservoir. And doesn't that factor into this water supply plan? And I hadn't heard that before, so that was news to me. And I was actually getting Pretty Creek confused with another park that's going to be known as the Byram Forest Preserve Park. So the news is there are two brand new parks in Albemarle County. And the day he called, I think the next day, Albemarle County took action on this.
Is that your cell phone?
That's my cell phone.
Who is it? You want to answer it on the radio?
It's lacrosse related.
Okay.
Probably not.
Once a dad, always a dad.
But anyway, there were two new parks that Albemarle County in early July took action on, and the Board of Supervisors has added them. And now the Parks and Recreation Department is going to start the process of opening them up to the public over the next year. But the Patricia Ann Byram Forest Preserve Park is up in northwest Albemarle along Route 810 near Boonsville.
That's way up there.
600 acres. Donated to Albemarle County in 2004. It hits up against Shenandoah National Park. So that is the biggest park in Albemarle County now.
Wow.
600 acres.
It's just by its very name, it's a forest.
It's a forest now, yep.
Are they going to develop trails, or are we going to have friends of the park that are going to get out there and
I'm sure
get us
will.
Some new trails?
There will be lots of friends, and the Mountain Biking Association here in town is working closely with Albemarle County to get trails established in these places.
Oh, that's great.
So they've got an operating agreement.
And you could connect up with the AT if it goes up the flat of the mountains.
That would be interesting. So that's Byram Forest Preserve Park, 600 acres northwest Albemarle. But what Gary was asking about is Pretty Creek. And what I learned is Pretty Creek is in Orange, Albemarle, and Green.
Yeah, there's isn't there a neighborhood in Green called Pretty Creek?
There might be. But most of this acreage is in Albemarle County. The road going across the top of the county line up there, Burnley Station Road, runs across right under the county line between Green and Orange County. And it connects 29 to 20. So you could take Burnley Station
across
northeastern Albemarle. But this about 570 acres, most of which is in Albemarle, is the second new park and another huge one, obviously. To give you some comparison, Walnut Creek, if you've been down to Walnut Creek,
sure.
That's about 525 acres. So both of these parks are bigger than Walnut Creek. Now, they don't have a big reservoir there. But Gary's question was, what about Pretty Creek and its use as a potential reservoir?
Is there a lake there or something?
Well, there's a creek. I assume it's called Pretty Creek.
We assume there's a creek there.
And the county bought this land in 1969. With the idea that they would put a reservoir there.
Interesting. Hello.
Guess what happened in this case? There was not a James River spiny mussel, which is what nixed the
An
other.
Owl? Was it an owl?
It was not an owl.
Some squirrel?
It was just not enough water. In the 1970s, they did another study, and they determined that there would not be enough water there to warrant that being a place for a reservoir.
Huh.
So even though – since the county's owned it since 69, a lot of people have found it on their own, I think, and there were trails there. And so people apparently have used it informally. And now what the county's going to do –
Sort of just, like Rainovia. Lake Rainovia used to be like a big popular swimming lake before some developer. Yeah.
Yep. The county has set aside about $500,000 in the Parks and Rec budget. They're going to use that to close unsafe trails and establish new, safer ones. So they're going to make it more friendly to the public, create the parking and the few amenities they need.
Will that be shared, a shared park, if the boundaries go into two other counties?
You know, I assume so, but our story didn't get into that. And as local news media picks up on this, maybe they'll investigate that. About 104 acres in Orange, so that's the other biggest chunk. Green only has 15 acres, and I'm not sure what's right around it in Green and Orange.
Interesting.
But
So Charlottesville Tomorrow, your blog broke the story then.
We just put the story up this afternoon. Our intern Ben Dorenberg did the research, and he interviewed Patrick Mulhaney at Albemarle County Parks and Rec.
So two huge new parks in Albemarle County with trails and hiking and mountain biking. And
it's not completely brand new news. I mean, we've been talking about these parcels since 2004 or 2006. But what the news is that the Board of Supervisors took the official action to designate them as the newest parks.
As parks. So now that the County Parks and Rec gets a bigger budget.
And now they'll start working.
They better get a big budget, take care of these two parks, get them going. That's exciting. It's what, 1,000 acres?
They want it to be able to run on what Mr. Mulhaney calls a shoestring budget because these are big parks. They're going to rely heavily on volunteers to help man these things, and even using apparently local prison inmates who qualify is the quote.
To go out and make trails?
To help out in some way, trash collection, things like that. So,
like in the orange jumpsuits, those kind of guys?
I assume so.
There you go. I wonder if they sing while they work.
If they do, we'll podcast that.
Yeah, but that is huge. Like, what is it, 1,000 acres
yep.
of so new parkland in Albemarle exciting. County? Yeah, that is. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, and the other big news story has something to do with websites.
Well, I thought this was interesting, and Rob Graham was reporting this in WINA's news at the break.
Which he is wont to do.
Yeah, that Albemarle County now ranks 9th in the nation in utilizing information technology to deliver services to its public. And this is for communities that are a certain population range. So Albemarle has made the top 10 for communities with 150,000 or less people. But I started thinking to myself, well, what are the things that Albemarle County does well that, you know, makes it deserve this recognition? And there are two things that in my job are really important, and I know more and more citizens are finding these things. One of them is called GIS Web. GIS stands for Geographic Information System. So the county has put online, and this is something the city does not have, the county has put up this application, and you can go to gisweb.albemarle.org. And both of these links that I'm going to tell you about are on our website if you go to the links page. But the GIS system lets you basically look at a map of any property in the county. You can literally type in a street address and boom, you're looking at that tax parcel, that tax map.
Kidding.
You can switch
it. I didn't know that was on there. That's amazing.
You can switch it to look at aerial photography.
Like you would with Google Maps or something.
Right. So you can see a picture of your house or someone else's house.
And it shows you the actual tax parcel of that particular property.
Shows you the tax parcel. And then you can overlay things like school boundaries. You can overlay critical slopes. You could overlay stream buffers. You could overlay all these different things that the county's keeping track of, historic resources, zoning signs. You could look up somebody, how much the tax valuation is, the property tax assessment for a house.
That's pretty
cool. How much they paid for it.
Your tax dollars at work, Brian.
And you can export all this information. So it's tools like that and this other one called County View. County View is all about looking at the planning and building applications. So the people in
you look at that all the time.
We look at that a lot. So the people in the business of tracking or submitting these applications to build things or rezone things, now it's all available to the public. So GIS Web and County View are two of those applications, I think, that make Albemarle County stand out.
That's amazing. And the city doesn't have that.
The city doesn't have that. Now, one of the things the city has that I really like and I use today is the bus tracking system. So you can track CTS buses online and know when they're going to hit their different stops.
Get out. So can you really do that?
Absolutely.
Well, they got little transponders on them or
something?
They
do. GPS.
Get out.
Global positioning system.
That's wicked cool.
So I put on my phone, and actually what I do is at my desk, I bookmarked a website so I can see when the free trolley is coming to the downtown station. And so when it's within 2 or 3 minutes, then I just know I can walk to the station and get right on it. And it's there right at that time.
That is so cool. Where's the free trolley go?
Because before I wouldn't use the trolley. Because I never knew, you know, when's it going to be at the stop.
Yeah, you could stand around, look at your
15
watch.
15 minutes.
Yeah.
So now I can just walk
right
up.
It's not like the metro where the thing says, you know, next train due in 4 minutes,
now,
3 minutes,
they have
2 minutes.
Started rolling that out. So some of the stops do have that technology at the stops. So you can see when the next bus for a certain route is going to show up.
That is really
but
cool.
But you can look at it from anywhere on the web, at your desk, or on your phone. So I went to lunch on the corner. I took the free trolley down to the corner.
Where'd you eat?
Qdoba
Grill.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Allison
so
loves
I had a burrito
that place.
There.
Yeah, it's good.
And then I look at my phone and I say, okay, when's the next free trolley coming by the corner to take me back to work?
How do you look it on your phone?
Because I put in the website on my phone because my phone can get on the
Well, you internet. Got an iPhone?
No, it's a Trio, Sprint PCS
You're
Trio.
You're the man. You're technology man.
So
I need to get you a cape.
Not everybody has those things, but the point is this is an example of where new technology on the city's website is going to help people use alternative forms of transportation.
Yeah, because it makes it easier.
It's predictable. You know when it's coming. You can rely on it. And
that's going to get more and more important when gas is $6 and $7 a gallon.
You got it.
You got folks who are saying, I don't have a choice. I got to ride that damn trolley.
So it was nice. I was going down West Main, and I forgot to pull my little, you know, pull the string for the stop. And
oh, do you have to do that?
So I missed my stop, but I was so having so much fun looking at all the buildings. And it's like, oh, I didn't know that was there.
I'd never ridden that trolley. I'm going to have to do
that's
that.
That's great fun.
Well, now that it's so easy to do and you can
take a look.
That's awesome. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Corey.
Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow. You can learn more online at SeavilleTomorrow.org.